This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What happens to Apple if the novelty wears off?
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. When it comes to smartphones, the buzz online is whether Verizon will ever get a well-reviewed smartphone with a metal chassis from a Taiwanese company, HTC. Notice what I didn't say. The buzz is not about a new iPhone. Apple reports its quarterly profits today, and the question hanging over that is, what's next? Marketplace's David Weinberg reports.
Apple is simply announcing how much money it made this quarter, probably about $34 billion. Not bad, but analysts expect it will be the third consecutive quarter that the company's earnings decline.
What Wall Street wants to see, and I think the tech industry actually wants to see, is that Apple is still a thought leader over the next 6 months to 1 year.
Ameritrade analyst J.J. Kinahan says that Apple's success has been built on its ability to deliver innovative new products, and lately that hasn't happened.
You know, an iPad to an iPad mini, there really isn't that much excitement about.
Any rumors of new products are so far just that.
Big rumors that seem the most reliable are a larger screen iPad and a cheaper iPhone.
Tech writer Brian S. Hall says that if Apple has created a mind-blowing Dick Tracy watch or some other magical device that could catapult the company's stock price, Apple would likely announce its arrival closer to Christmas. I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
So the typical game for investors is to take that consensus forecast about Apple's profits, $34 billion, he said, and if you think it's low, buy Apple stock ahead of the Big Apple news conference this afternoon. Or if you think the number's high, one might sell Apple shares. But Tuesday analyst Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis says there's something you should know about this strategy. Morning, Julie.
Morning, David.
So what do you think of this common, widespread strategy, investing based on expert forecasts of how much money a company is going to make or lose?
Well, it's almost like a casino. Everybody's putting their bets down and seeing will the stock go up or down, and does it really make a difference? A new study by Saxo Bank said it doesn't make a single bit of difference as to whether analysts can meet or beat analysts' estimates. Earnings reports are absolutely everything. Even if you had a crystal ball for earnings, you still couldn't make trading profits consistently. So how do they make the money? Well, it's going to be forward guidance that the company gives on the conference call and management statements. Take a look at McDonald's yesterday. Their profits were wonderful, but their forward guidance said food costs, labor costs are going up, price competition is big, the stock went down.
So what the company says about the road ahead probably has more influence on the share price moving forward than all this guessing about what the actual profits or losses would be.
Exactly. It's all what's coming forward, and that's what's built into the price of the stock.
Now, looking at the stock market more broadly, looks like we're about ready to hit another 5-year high for share prices.
Well, it looks like the taper tantrum is over. Uncle Ben is saying he's going to be flexible as to when he raises rates. But bottom line is the market is saying, well, for now, there's no other place to put your money. Interest rates are still historically low. So we're looking at the S&P continuing to move ahead here. More money coming into it.
Julie Neiman, Smith Moore & Company, thank you so much.
You bet.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Developers of the Keystone XL pipeline are hoping to get a go, no-go decision from the Obama administration this year. The underground pipe would move oil from Canada to refineries on the U.S. Gulf Coast. Nowhere has the idea been more controversial than in Nebraska, where some farmers and ranchers worry about damage to the land and pollution of the water. As Sarah McCammon reports, landowners along the route have a new plan to fight the pipeline with wind and solar power.
York County, Nebraska might look like the middle of nowhere. County roads cutting through fields of corn and soybeans for mile after mile. But to Jenny Harrington and her three sisters who grew up here, it's the center of their world.
It was homesteaded by my great-great-grandparents in 1864.
Harrington's brother-in-law, Rick Hammond, farms on ground that's believed to be directly in the path of the Keystone XL pipeline. The family is backing a plan to build a barn, powered by solar panels and a residential-sized wind turbine, at the edge of this field. Hammond says it will serve as a meeting center for pipeline opponents.
And we want to make an example that the old dirty energy, if it comes through, would be destroying new clean energy.
It's a small project with a budget around $65,000. Groundbreaking is planned for next month. But it's not the only obstacle pipeline developer TransCanada is facing. Environmentalists have staged protests saying oil from the pipeline would accelerate climate change. Some landowners are refusing to sign easements or allow the company on their land. Jeff Rao is a project representative for TransCanada.
Part of what we do every day with the pipeline is work with obstacles and obstructions in the right-of-way.
Last year, the Obama administration said no to the original route, which cut through the environmentally sensitive Nebraska sandhills. But even the new plan worries landowners like Shannon Graves in York County.
We didn't really realize until they came out and surveyed and planted that little stick in the ground that it was so close to our house.
About 300 feet from where she and her husband sleep. Opponents in several counties along the route are working on resolutions against the pipeline. Not all Nebraskans are fighting it, though. Some labor unions say the project would bring good jobs for construction workers. In York County, Nebraska, I'm Sarah McCammon for Marketplace.
And the most expensive city in the world for your glamorous life as an expatriate worker is not Tokyo. The new Mercer Cost of Living survey says it's Luanda, which is the capital of... You can do it. The capital of... Yes, you got it right. Angola. The country is Africa's second largest oil exporter these days, and all that cash washing around is driving up prices. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.